This is East Carolina Hall of Famer and Utah Jazz first round draft pick Blue Edwards. You're listening to Pirate Basketball Overtime on the Sports Objective, your home for the best East Carolina hoops coverage.
Welcome into Pirate Basketball Overtime right here on the Sports Objective. The Pirates get it done, ladies and gentlemen, in overtime, 88-80 over Tulane, the Green Wave. And you have the overtime right here. I tell you what, so excited about that big victory. What a team that we have for the Pirates. I don't know if the cardiac Pirates would be the right thing, but man, I definitely need to get my blood pressure medicine. Maybe I should get a higher dose. I have to talk to the doctor tomorrow if he can call it into my local pharmacy. With us right now, Bubba Rosenbaum. I think he's been kicked out of the house. What's up, dude?
Have not been kicked out of the house. What happened, you know, Riley had practice from 7 to 8, and it was such a good game. I was watching it on my phone. I didn't want to miss any of it, so I sat there in the parking lot at the school and watched the second half as well as all of overtime. And you know, got a couple phone calls wondering where I was, but I wasn't going anywhere, and I'm glad I didn't. What a finish. Tristan Newton knocking down clutch shot after clutch shot, and I know we'll talk a lot more about his performance here in a minute.
No doubt. Speaking of clutch, we have somebody that was clutch for the Pirates in the 90s, a linebacker for ECU under Coach Logan, a man that loves sports. He loves his Knicks, and he loves his ECU basketball Pirates, Matt Semenza. What's up, man?
No doubt. What's going on, guys? Yeah, that was a exciting game to watch. When Tulane made the big three in regulation, I'm thinking to myself, here we go again. And then obviously Tristan Newton comes back and just clutch, you know, without any hesitation, just right in rhythm. He just drilled that three to put it into overtime. So that was just fun to watch. So excited to be here.
So, you know, it's funny.
I'll tell you what, guys. Very quickly, guys, there after Tristan Newton's clutch three that tied it, I tell you, when Cross shot that ball from just beyond the free throw line or maybe just inside the three-point line straight out, talk about all the way down and out. I had already puked and was starting to clean it up, and then all of a sudden we're going to overtime.
I couldn't breathe, honestly, guys, that – what was that, like 5 or 6 seconds? I mean, it felt like forever. Like, you know, like when you see like these movies, Hoosiers is one of the best sports movies. But you know, like one of these movies where you see the slow motion and the ball is going around the rim and it's going around the rim. I mean, how many times did that thing go around the world? I mean, it seemed like it went like 3 times. I don't know. And it was odd the way that ball, not to spend like all the time dissecting it, but that was so weird the way that ball came out and then back. Like, yeah. It just seemed way different than what normally when you're watching. I was like, that is, the basketball rim was not kind. That's the understatement of the century. But it was like the basketball god said, you're going to stay undefeated at home. And wow. And then I think the thing that we have to work on is certainly the common theme we've seen so many times is Semenza. I'm going to blame him because he's the one that was smart enough to point it out first, was the fact that you brought up the fact that we go cold in these games. We can't, if we want to do well in the conference and even be a middle of the pack team, like I believe we are, we're not number 11. We're not the 11th best team. I really believe that I would say to be fair, I think we're 6th or 7th. And the conference is where we're going to end up, is what I've said all along. But if we're going to be middle of the pack, middle of the road kind of team, you can't. That this is a game we needed tonight, and I'm glad it worked out. I'm not going to be one of the negative Nelly, Debbie Downer. But one thing that drives me so crazy is how can this team get a lead, game after game after game? how can we get a lead and then all of a sudden we have a drought like several minutes? I mean Tulane, you just can't do that to an opponent, to let them go several minutes without, where we're not scoring.
Yeah, we have so many inconsistent possessions. I mean, just like you saw it in multiple games. You saw it against Davidson. You saw it against Liberty. That game against Liberty, we had a 10-point lead, and we had probably four or five possessions, many of which we didn't even get a shot. And the same thing started happening tonight. You talk about going cold, Dave. I think with just over 4 minutes, maybe 4:15 or something left in the first half, it was 41-26.
We had
a 15-point lead. And then you looked up there with 5-6 minutes to go in the game. So what, about the next 20 minutes, we had literally scored about a point a minute, because, I mean, it was crazy how cold we had gone. We'd scored 41 points in less than 16 minutes. And then we scored about 14 points in the next 16 minutes.
Yeah, and, you know, basketball is such a game of runs, and it seems like sometimes when we get a big lead and the other team goes on their run, we sort of cave. But tonight what I liked is we went down. Tulane made a huge run there with about 6 minutes left. I think they went up 5 points, and we were able to rally back and take the lead pretty quickly, which is a good sign to see. So we were able to take the run and then hit back and take the lead back quickly. So that's definitely a good sign. But I agree with you, Dave. It's got to find a way to just be, you know, more consistent throughout the course of the entire game.
And, guys, picking up, this was really big for me because all three of us are huge ECU basketball fans, or we wouldn't do the overtime. The only place you can get coverage, by the way, if you're a basketball fan, post game is right here with us on the Sports Objective. And Matt and Bubba, the thing that for me is that we already have win number 10, and I'm not saying 10 wins is like, you know, like we need to like have a parade for Pirate basketball, but the point of the season that we're in right now, to have 10 wins, you're 9-0 at home. You're looking at those three games like it really. The thing that I'm happy about is, number one, we're not getting those ugly losses, Matt. Like, how about this? For those of you that want to fire Dooley, for those of you that don't think he's done enough, I've got a team that Matt knows about. How about let's try Central Connecticut State a few years ago? Let's talk about those ugly losses. We could do a whole series of podcasts on ugly losses this program's had over the years. And you have a coach who inherited a mess, and we're not going to spend on, you know, all that, but I'm just really proud of where we are, 10-3. We have, hopefully that was only COVID pause we have, but we're looking at now, Bubba, we were talking pre-show in the green room. We have a chance that we could actually have a winning season. I really believe that the ceiling for this team, you guys, and it's premature to talk about, but I want to go ahead and say it early because I don't want to be that guy to say, yeah, I really thought we were going to make that. I really believe that we have a shot. I said a shot. It may not happen, but to make the NIT, I really do. I think but going back to what we're talking about, we're not going to make the NIT and have a deep run in the tournament for the AAC if you have these droughts. I mean, it's just not going to happen. Tulane, and, you know, obviously I'm happy for my Pirates, but you got to feel bad for, if you're a basketball fan, and our good friend Corey Glore. I want to win the game tonight, obviously. But think about Tulane, man. They've had some close ball games, some real close ball games. And they're you have to give them credit tonight for fighting hard. They played very well. And you know what's great is when you can watch a basketball game like tonight, and I don't care what anybody says, American is a great league. I watch a lot of games on ESPN Plus that are American games or non-ECU games, and they're very entertaining. And I'm not getting paid by the league to say that. But here's another example tonight. Think about it. Even if you were not an ECU or Tulane fan, and you're like me and you're looking for a ball game to watch, what a great game. What a nail biter.
Absolutely. And It was a little reminiscent, Bubba, a little reminiscent there. The last play of regulation, the long throw down the court, a little reminiscent of Christian Laettner, where it was a perfect throw, right? Perfect throw, catch the ball a little over the free throw line. I was a little surprised we didn't try to front that, because we almost made it. Was such a almost like an easy throw where he just caught it, turned around and got the shot off. And you know, just a crazy ending, like Dave said, the way that ball spun around the rim and ultimately fell out. I've never seen a ball spin like that before, I don't think. But just a unbelievable finish.
And a great point, guys, made by Reed Lowe. It's very easy for this to get overshadowed with what Tristan Newton did down. Make no mistake about it. He did largely put the team on its back with some of those shots he knocked down. But yeah, even though you had guys like Vance Jackson and JJ Miles who really cooled off in the second half, they played excellent in the first 20 minutes, and you finish with the entire starting five in double figures, and then 32 made field goals for the game, 25 assists, which is just unbelievably good.
That's a really great stat, Bubba. And I tell you what, the thing for me that you look at is the amount of another thing that we'll go back to, and I say about every time, but I won't say it again. Last year, so much of the offense was geared towards Jaden Gardner. And the thing that I'm really happy about tonight and all these games is we're getting so much of our points are spread around. And what's great about how many guys, Bubba, was it in double figures tonight? Was it five? I think it was five, I believe. Yeah. And before you'd have one or two, you maybe have three, but to have five guys in double figures. If you had told me tonight, obviously I thought we were going to win the game. I knew it'd be close. But if you told me that Tristan Newton, rather, had 32 points and we have five guys in double figures, that to me is very impressive, because 32 points normally would be that he's the only guy scoring, or maybe two guys, three guys. But that is, to me, winning basketball. That means that they have to guard more than Tristan Newton. I mean, I could go on and on about how many of that. But by the way, Paze, we can get you on here tonight if you want to be a guest host. Come on. We can get you on. He says, I need to be a guest host on this. We can get you. You can come right on. We can give you the But anyway, love to have him on, especially his him and Kyle will be great together. And Kyle is actually sleeping right now, I'm sure, so he couldn't make it tonight. It's past his bedtime. But
absolutely, yeah. And to your point, though, Dave, you know, it's we're such a perimeter based team, not having a true post presence on the low block. So much of what we do in the half court comes down to great ball movement. And then, you know, ultimately hitting our threes. Like if we're hitting our threes, we're a team that can be very dangerous. When we go through those cold stretches, the shots simply aren't falling. And without having like a true post presence to dump the ball down low, it can be very difficult. But one thing I see from this team that I think they look a lot more disciplined in the half court set this year, they look more comfortable. I think the ball moves. It doesn't stick. And like you said, when you have three or four guys that can knock down shots from the perimeter, as opposed to just being reliant on one guy, it makes all the difference.
No doubt. And I don't want to disrespect. I'm not anti-Gardner. The point I'm making is, and good for him, you know, he had a choice to make being a kid. But what I'm saying is that everybody was gloom and doom, you know, Gardner's leaving, here we go again, another guy transferring. And I told people, this isn't the end of the world. If you know Joe, that just shows you how great of a coach Joe Dooley is. He made adjustments. He brought guys in. Some guys didn't stay in the program. I know there's some people that have been critical of that. But you know what? Joe Dooley is cares about ECU, and he wants to win more than anybody on this planet. And as somebody like all three of us are on this show, and all the folks watching and listening right now that are competitors, If you're a competitor, you know, Joe Dooley was saying, people ask him how he felt about being 9-3. He said he wanted to be 12-0. And just like tonight, he would rather be 13-0. That's the kind of coach you want to have. Yes, we're happy that we're 10-3, but overall, we could be 12-1 or 13-0 right now. And that's sure.
When you have, when you're competitive essentially every time out, like we've been this year, I mean, because our three losses, each of those three games were within two possessions in the final 4 minutes of the game, even that Liberty game, which we ended up losing by double figures when they pulled away down the stretch. But the product on the court, it's what we've wanted for a long, long time. This is the best team that we've had since that 2012-2013 season when we won the CIT. And kind of leading into Josh Thomas's comment, he said, I don't know what it's going to take, but we've got to find a way to pack out Minji's. If fans wanted wins, well, by God, they are getting them. No doubt about it, Josh. And heck, I mean, sure, we want to sell out. And then hopefully it will progress to that point. But and I know that these are different times in terms of everything going on with the variants, et cetera. And, some people are at home sick. But and who am I to judge those people? And to each their own. They have to do what they feel is in their best interest and their family's best interest. But I'm talking to those people who – you know, who want East Carolina Athletics to be successful, and that's not why they're staying home. It's just apathy toward our basketball program because we've been so bad for so long. Well, guess what? Now we're not. We need to support this product. And, you know, when you have a game like tonight, maybe that run doesn't get as bad, and we can kind of stem the tide a little bit easier if you have just – you know, 4,000, 4,500 legitimate bodies in the seats there in Minji's, because as we've all seen down through the years, it doesn't have to be a full house for it to be a rowdy atmosphere.
No question about it. And that's the thing that drives me crazy is that both my kids had basketball practice tonight at 6, and I live 45 minutes away. By the time I get there, it's going to be sometime in the second half. But I love basketball, but more importantly, it's more than that. Even if I didn't like basketball, I would still go support it because it's my school. It's my team. I'm not just a football fan. I mean, if we're playing video games, there's some schools that give have scholarships now for video games players. If we're watching guys for ECU play Madden against, I don't know, against UNC or State, I would be there in support of them, or I'd watch them on YouTube or wherever they would be broadcasting from. That's how much I love my school. So the fact that we have, Dooley said when he first came here that he was going to have to put a winning product on the court. Well, we have a winning product on the court, and we did last year, and he's finally turning things around. And, you know, I don't know what certain people expect. You know, if this were one of the blue bloods as far as basketball, and we were 10-3, then you could understand why the fans would be mad and, you know, not going to games like, oh my God, here we go again. We're going to lose another game. But again, Bubba, I appreciate you very much for bringing that up. And Josh Thomas and Matt and I were like, and Matt has a great excuse. He's only in, I don't know, neighboring Connecticut. I mean, you know, way away. I think it's so sad, and this is going to sound cold, and I don't mean it to be this way, but I'm to the point of, I don't even think Mr. Beast having cash there, I don't think people would come. I mean, it's so sad that I don't know. I mean, you know, what mark would it have to be 15 wins before they're going to come? I mean, I don't know. What else is there to do? I mean, I understand church, and obviously I go to church on Wednesday night, and I couldn't tonight because my kids have practice, but. And I respect that a lot, but other than that, or maybe what we've gone through, or you live in several hundred miles away like Matt does, what excuse do you have not to go to a game? I mean, you could be in Greenville, North Carolina. It's great entertainment. It's very reasonable, very cheap entertainment. And we have to give Gilbert and Ryan Robinson, everybody there at ECU, credit were having those cheap tickets they had. That was a great promotion, like $8. I don't think it is now, but anyway, that's really hard for me.
A couple of comments here on YouTube as well as Facebook that I want to go ahead and get to. Mark Calloway, appreciate you as always, Mark, chiming in on YouTube.
What's up, Mark?
And he says, I have a lot of my customers that have had COVID and didn't feel well at all. Just saying, hey,
that is a big.
I'm not talking about those individuals, Mark. No. I'm just talking about the ones who were. And the reason I say it's not just strictly COVID, yes, you would expect that to dampen the crowd some, but not to the extent that the crowd was tonight. I mean, it's been largely that way all year, with the exception of maybe one or two games where we had a legit 4,000 or so there. That's the reason I say that, because I've seen it all far too often, and I'm not one to talk about myself, and I'm definitely not the only one that does this. You see Dave from Chesapeake, he's driving down a couple hours or whatever it is, spending 4 hours in the car, and people from the western part of the state, 6 and 7 hours in the car, and then yet people here in the, you know, within hour radius of people that say they love the Pirates but won't get off their butt and get into Minji's and do their best to make a difference for this basketball team. And it just really, really ticks me off. I told myself I wasn't going to say a whole lot about it, because I want to dwell on the positive and the victory tonight. But it was just such a sore spot with me. I had to bring it up at least a little.
I got an idea. This is, schools don't do this. Fans don't do it. But I think the way that we can get people to Minji's, I really do it. I know I'm being tongue in cheek here, but I really think we could do a tailgate. Can we do a basketball tailgate? I know that sounds like a lame idea, but no, we love to party.
No, if you have good weather, that doesn't sound like a lame idea at all. And, you know, forget the weather. Make use of that $12 million basketball practice facility or whatever. You know, all you have to do is put you've had that used before for high-level donors. If it's not being used for that now, you know, find some indoor facility to have a student tailgate. And like B-Pay says here, you know, give the students a slice of pizza and a free drink. I mean, you have to spend money to make money, and it's well worth it to spend. And who knows, maybe you get it contributed by your sponsors, be it Pizza Hut or Domino's or whoever. But even if you do have to spend the money, then it's money well spent if you get the students hooked on basketball, because tonight classes do start tomorrow, according to what one of our viewers chimed in and said. So maybe a lot of them were back in town. Hopefully they'll see highlights of tonight's performance of Tristan Newton, especially in just the way this team is 9-0 at home, and get out there the next time. I think the next home game is January 15th against Memphis, and we need a big crowd because Memphis is extremely talented.
Yeah, you know, the great thing about our campus is that everything's so close. I mean, you know, you could get to the Minji's in, you know, 10 minutes, really, no matter where you are on campus. It's a great campus like that, the way it's condensed. You know, you have campuses like Rutgers, for example. It can take 45 minutes and two buses to get from one end of campus to the other. And that's not an exaggeration. That's actually true. So, you know, from a student's perspective, you definitely want to see, you know, more student turnout. So hopefully that changes throughout the course of the season. But certainly Tristan Newton. I mean, you know, it's fun to see when a guy gets a hot hand like that. And he was just, he was just unconscious. And it was fun to see. And, you know, it's funny when you watch, he's such a crafty player. Everything looks so almost effortless for him. You know, he, like I said earlier, even on his jump shot, he doesn't jump incredibly high. It almost looks more like a set shot, but he's just a smooth player. He's crafty. He knows how to create space. And he's just an effortless scorer. It was just fun to watch him heat up like that tonight. And a huge win. I mean, at home, you know, a conference game like that at home against a team that, you know, you're a 1-point favorite, you have to get that win. you absolutely have to get that win, and they did it.
Yeah. Tulane coming off that big 8-point win at Cincinnati where they led by 26. And their big three, you know, Forbes, Cook, and Cross, they lived up to their hype. They were very good tonight, all three of them, and they had some other quality players as well. Really like Ron Hunter as a coach, and you know, to the Pirates' credit, they really stepped up in the clutch when they needed to when things looked pretty bleak.
I got to say something about Ron Hunter, guys. I got to say something. Great coach, love Ron Hunter, but that sideline attire, man, wow. We got to do something about that sideline attire. I mean, are you guys with me on that or no?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a little casual. No. A little casual for me.
And all coaches, I'm with you because even though pretty much all coaches around the country these last couple years have gone casual, he took it to another level for sure. It was kind of a sloppy casual, but.
Yeah, it was. I was sitting there with my 12-year-old son, and he said, "Is that the coach?" Dressed yeah. a little casual, but he is an excellent coach. I really like watching him. You know, he's fun to watch. When that shot at the end rimmed out, you could see the frustration. I mean, he was beside himself because he thought that was going to drop, and he thought he was about to get out of there with a W. So he's a fun guy. Well, excellent coach. He's done a lot of great things at Georgia State years ago, and but we got to work on that sideline shirt.
Yeah, and. And also, Mark Calloway chimed in saying, "How many does Williams Arena Minji's Coliseum seat?" The number you see posted, it says capacity 8,000. I really think that's you know, kind of a fire marshal number. And the reason I say that is because I've been in Minji's when it was packed to the rafters and literally people sitting in the aisles and standing. And the largest crowd as far as in the record books is I think 7,700 and some. So that's the reason I say that about that 8,000. I think it's more like 7,500 as far as actual seats.
I love the comments that are – keep those comments coming between Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We appreciate it very much if you want to chime in tonight. In fact, I love I love them all. But I tell you what, the we'll take the – those rowdy crowds, and maybe it takes, you know, the Saturday afternoon. I think that next game is at 4:00. Maybe people the Saturday afternoon at 4:00. Let's get a lot of people in there. Let's get a lot of people in there. You know, we need to take Matt Semenza's money, all the money he makes, and we'll get a whole bunch of pizza. I volunteer Matt. No, I'm kidding. No, seriously, like we've even talked about that behind the scenes, Matt, about, you know, maybe we can donate some pizza for, you know, the students, have that in there. Because, you know, when you get that lower bowl, Bubba and I were at the Charlotte game. I know Alan Thomas was sitting near us. That place was electric. And you have Bubba's dad doing the jungle calls on this hilarious. Love Gary Rosenbaum. And you had, like, that game was so exciting, December of 19, and you beat Charlotte, and we have – it seems like we struggle against, you know, Charlotte. But anyway, the very fact that we can beat those teams that we were not beating now, the atmosphere. But you get that lower bowl full, and you have, you know, if it's great Pirate fans like us, or you have the, you know, students there, obviously, normally – but you get a place, the lower bowl, and then you get a lot of that, you know, the second level, the upper level, if you will, you get that packed. And it's really, really loud. I mean, the Houston game last year, there's a lot of would have been loud if you could have had, you know, fans in there. It's a shame that we beat Houston that goes to the Final Four and we upset them and we don't have the fans. But, hey. We've had some great wins over the last few years under Dooley. We've beaten Cincinnati a few years ago. We had the win last year, Houston. But anyway, we've just got to keep doing what we're doing, being consistent. And the fans will eventually come. They want a winner. They have a winner in Pirate basketball. So eventually they'll show up, and hopefully it's on the 15th.
Yeah, the marketing staff, John Gilbert, Eric Ward, Ryan Robinson, everybody over there, they need to really put the full court press on and from a marketing standpoint over this next, week and a half between now and that Memphis game. Do everything they can to get folks out. I'm talking about church youth groups, groups from schools, basketball teams throughout the area, be it AAU teams or school teams, and doing everything they can to get butts in the seats and create a rowdy atmosphere. I mean, anything, and this is, I think, being generous in my opinion, but since this is COVID times, and it's been so poor up to this point, with legitimately probably 1,000 to 1,500 butts in the seats for two or three games, I'll say if anything less than 5,000 for Memphis is not good.
I agree. Yeah. And I did like Paze's idea with the, slice of pizza and maybe a soda, just trying to be creative to at the very least get the students to pack the house.
No doubt about it. How about Josh Thomas? He says, I'm going to do my part on Twitter to get as many people and Menchie's for the 15th as I can. You remember and Bill Herrien, he had Bill had back at that time, was it 15, 20 years ago, whatever now, man, time's flying. But he would do stuff like that. I tell you what we need to do, guys, is back in the day when I know Duke does it with Krzyzewskiville, but we need to have where students pack, the camping out thing. I think that's a really cool thing. It gets the students involved. I guess it's a creative thing. You could have Joe Dooley or the staff, checking on them, buying some pizza for them. I think that's where we have right now. There's the word that comes to mind, that there's a disconnect. And I guess it's because we don't have the rich tradition like we would like in basketball. But how cool would that be to get tents out there for Joe Dooley, Dooleyville, or we'll have some name for him or something like that. You get the pizzas you have. Maybe you, if I were Dooley and I had the money Dooley has, I would be throwing a huge party for the college students, like maybe after the year or beginning of the year, something. That's one thing. The only thing I will say about Dooley I don't like, we need to have a, not to harp on it, but a Midnight Madness kind of basketball, some kind of thing that we could put together. You got my brother B. Pays. It's awesome. He says, hire me as a DJ. We could have Pays be playing music, not only the event, but during the games. But hired, Pays to do the event. Bubba and I, there's a lot of Pirates and Pirate Nation that want to see that event, the beginning of like the kickoff basketball season. And I don't understand why we can't have a big basketball event. Maybe bring in, some former Pirates to come in there, Gabe Miklas. There's a whole bunch of guys that would definitely come back. I mean, all kinds of cool things that we could do to maybe some famous celebrities that are Pirates. There's all kinds of things you could do with that. I don't think we're going to do like Snoop Dogg coming in there with Kansas, but we can make an event, and that would be a great fundraiser for the Pirate basketball program, where we say, hey, I mean, I would pay 20 or 30. I would pay a good amount to come in and watch, an exhibition game and all the hype. And I mean, you look at a guy like Brian Meador, you look at, there's so many great people for social media, they would have some cool videos. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is I think what's missing for me is just the hype for the program, and it is well deserved. And I know Dooley is like has a good intentions because he has his mind 100% on the program. But that's one thing we desperately need is to have there's a lot of great Pirates out there that would come that night and support Dooley and maybe even do a basketball banquet where we can raise money for the program. But anything like that, I'm just saying to engage the fans is what's missing for me.
And B. Pay says we have to create an atmosphere in Menchie's, better yes, music, Pays. Giveaways, et cetera.
Yes.
I wholeheartedly agree with you, Pays. And, you have these sponsors who can maybe they provide it to, at no charge, you know, for kind of a gift in kind, so to speak, where they get Pirate Club credit. And, you know, you have Pirate Club members who are in the promotional items business who can provide these things for you probably at cost or maybe less than that. And you're going to have to, you know, do some of these things. And Eric Ward and this staff, they've done those things in the past. You had some tremendous giveaways a couple years ago with the, you know, the vintage logos, those vintage marks like the Script Pirates and the the pirate from the 70s with the sword in its mouth. In the one like we wore on the helmet to end the 2019 season against Tulsa. And those coasters were really well received, and fortunately my parents were able to attend that game and pick some up for me. But things like that, I think it was a beach towel for the students. That was an excellent idea. I mean, doing that in February, not too long before spring break, and also maybe like a Hawaiian shirt. I mean, things like that that are useful, that are you know, going to get the
How about the?
Go ahead.
I got an idea for you. We can have a bowling shirt night because Simmons is a big bowling. bowling league. no, that was a joke. Actually, I think like ugly sweater, any kind of promotion you could have, you know, and have people on social media voting for, the ugly sweater, the best ugly sweater, whatever. Like one of those December games, you know, there's all kinds of different promotions that you can get the kids there. And, you know, maybe Semenza can give every kid like a 21 and older, like a rum for every student that shows up. Man, we would have the whole place would be packed. You have that Mr. Beast kind of money anyway, Semenza. So,
hey, a little Captain Morgan's for all the students. That'll definitely get it going. No doubt about it.
Don't you think? I mean, I don't know how legal that is, but that's the way to get people there.
Yeah, no doubt.
Like local breweries, you know, there's different things now that you can sell beer. Hey, Bubba, you know how they have Kinston, the Down East Wood Ducks? Why don't we have like a thirsty night? Thirsty Thursday, or we can have a dollar a beer.
There you go, Craig.
A Bubba bobblehead night. I tell you what, Craig, that place would be sold out quick. And they would be selling and what would happen too is they would be getting big money on eBay selling all those bobbleheads of Pirate Nation. I can see that.
Yeah, I said useful giveaways. But Pay says, when I was working in Columbia, South Carolina, Dawn Staley came to the station and talked to us about ideas. Obviously, the very successful women's basketball coach there that has the Gamecocks number one in the nation. She did a great job on getting the atmosphere there ready for what she wanted for the program.
No question about it.
And that's the type of thing I totally agree with you, B-Pays. And, you know, Joe Dooley, he's been on Pirate Radio 94.3, but, use all those resources to your advantage and do everything you can to, do things make use of all your resources.
Yeah, like a half-court shot, they have those half-court shots for a chance to win a big prize or, there's even they had a not to digress, but how many of you, Pace, do you remember this? And some of the others that are a little bit older, they actually had a dude that shot a half court shot, but I think they had like that thing where you like make a layup, and he got down to the half court shot, and I think he was like a half a second or a second late. The buzzer had gone off. And boy, the crowd went. I mean, they were so mad because he really didn't win. But I don't know what ended up happening to that. But they had I think it was a chance to win. He had 30 seconds to make all those shots to win a car. But it was a crazy promotion, and I guess they don't want to. I guess they don't have an insurance policy big enough to pull that off. younger music stations. Yeah, I agree with you. I definitely agree with you. I think, and I'll tell you another thing, guys, that comes to mind. That's something I was thinking about for us, for Pirate Nation, is a community that's near and dear to my heart is the Latino community. I think we've got a really big fan base. You want to talk about a community that loves sports, that's very passionate, that's very loyal, very dedicated in everything they do. I think the Latino community is at one. When you think about football, you think about basketball, look at baseball for a Latino community. We have a real opportunity there. But when you come back there, I think that we need to reach out to normal people, instead of like going after the same people. I think there's a lot of people that we're not reaching right now. And it's an honest conversation we can have later. I know we're almost 41 minutes into an overtime, but I would love to have us to do more with basketball. And I think it's a shame because we talk about we want to be a Power Five program. And I really believe, guys, we are a Power Five program if you look at all our sports. But men's basketball, they just don't put the money in men's basketball that they need to put into. You know, and I have no, as you guys know, how much I love our football program. And we have a former football player on the show. But let's put the money in basketball. Let's invest. Yes, we did the practice facilities. Fantastic. I love it. It's beautiful with the Hall of Fame right there. All that was a really nice touch. But let's put the money in it that that we need to. And once we start winning again, another thing too, guys, with the one of the reasons why we have trouble scheduling the way we want to schedule is that we need to get our net up. I don't know what it is now, guys, if y'all can help me, if y'all know that off the top of your head or you've seen it, but our net was, it was real pitiful a few years ago. I know it was up at one point. And then when we barely won against the Southern Miss game, then it went down. Do you know it offhand, Bubba? Our net?
I think it's in the mid 100s, 150, yeah. 160, something like that. At the highest, maybe 135 or 40, but I think it's more like 150 or 60. But
so we need to get – okay, there is Frank Durham, 160th currently. Thank you, Frank. I appreciate that very much. I knew that it was – so it's not anything to write home about, but we've been way worse. Frank, the one way we're going to schedule better, brother, is we've got to get our net up. It hurts the other teams when they play us. That's one of the problems Dooley's facing. Dooley can schedule Kansas and a whole bunch of blue bloods. The problem is that we can't right now. What we have to do is keep winning games, and then the teams will start to schedule us but anyway, I don't want to get off on that tangent, but I'm just really proud of this team. I think what we need to do is keep supporting them. Get your tickets for these games coming up down the stretch. Let's see, he says ECU is 15% African American, so it basically qualifies as small HBCU. Pitt County is 32%, and we need to target these churches, youth leagues, do things with the Black Alumni Association, the Divine Nine, etc. And get those folks involved and maybe use it as a fundraiser for these groups. Give the tickets to sell. Give them the tickets to sell and have them keep a portion of the organization. Absolutely be pays. I'm telling you, the great thing about basketball is we have a lot of inventory. So it's not like that we're selling out every single night. Tonight's a perfect example that we need to do more of that stuff. And that's how you get the fans involved and interested. Maybe you have a local, like Bubba was saying, basketball night where you have local, everybody there is a local team, whatever. But Mark Calloway is asking, is that a clock behind you, Matt?
It is a clock behind me, and the battery is not working, so it's stuck. I believe it's stuck on, 7:30, Mark?
So it's right two times a day. It's right two times a day.
There you go. That is a clock. I like Paige's suggestion. What's that, Bubba?
Dave, I had an anonymous viewer, chime in. This is a guy that really knows the program well, but he said run a pub crawl downtown prior to the Memphis game from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. Free T-shirts and tickets, and he said $2 beers and bus the students to the game.
Oh my God! Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, you have to be creative. That's creative stuff, and that's what we desperately need. And I think people would. The fact that something like that, so I hate to use the term, it's overused, but it's so out of the box, so out of the ordinary, that people, that would get people's attention. I really believe it.
No doubt, no doubt.
So,
hey guys, one thing I wanted to point out on kind of a different note, and Bubba, I'm not sure if you were about to go into statistics, but there was one guy that kind of jumped out tonight. Brandon Johnson played 38 minutes. 14 points, 10 rebounds on 6 of 9 shooting. And, you know, what I like about him is he brings some athleticism down low for us. You know, he's a quick leaper. He's an athletic guy. He's got some bounce. And 38 minutes. I mean, that's, you know, he played some big minutes tonight. And he was very efficient, 14 points, 10 rebounds. So we're going to need that kind of presence down low. To go along with the perimeter shooting, we have to get something down low. And I like what he was able to bring tonight. He's a guy that I think has a lot of potential.
Yeah, he really does. And, you know, when Steve and I go hoist the colors, who was obviously on hand for tonight's game, was reporting the players who were warming up, and I saw Brandon Johnson's name listed. Definitely very relieved there. Hated that Zoe Frank was unavailable. Also, obviously, Marlon Leston and Luigi DeBow, but especially, you know, Zoe Frank has been the biggest contributor of those three scholarship players who were unavailable. But, yeah, BJ had a heck of a night. You know, some of the team stats, both teams shot it pretty well. East Carolina finished 32 of 66, 48.5%. Tulane, 28 out of 60, 46.7. Three-pointers. Both teams came in averaging about 8 made threes.
Yeah, we're having some technical difficulties there with the Bubba. I'm sure we'll get him back.
You got me now?
We got you.
Yeah, we got you now. You're back.
So both of these teams are ranked in the top 60 nationally in three-point field goal percentage. Tonight, not as good as they typically shoot, but 9 out of 26 for Tulane, just shy of 35%. And then East Carolina really struggled for a lot of the night, especially outside of Vance Jackson and Tristan Newton. But Tristan got hot down the stretch, and the Pirates finished 9 out of 27, a little over 33%. And then both teams shot it very well from the free throw line, 15 out of 18 for Tulane, 83%, 15 out of 19 for East Carolina, 79%. Pirates out-rebounded the Green Wave 35 to 32, 25 assists for the Pirates, 16 for Tulane. And then East Carolina finished with 13 turnovers. The Green Wave had 16. The Pirates' largest lead was 15 there with just over 4.
Yeah, the 15-point lead, as Bubba was talking about. And I'll tell you what, that's a big win tonight for this program. Really, I'm so excited about Joe Dooley. I know that you love him because he's a Jersey guy, Matt.
Got to represent the Jersey guys, no doubt.
I don't know what it is, but Jersey guys coming down to North Carolina, we have no problem with that. There's a great pipeline. And Dooley, it's funny, Dooley is a George Washington grad, but Dooley loves ECU so much. That's right. He's not an ECU grad, but I love the passion that he has for Greenville and for East Carolina. And he's one of those guys, he's a really good guy. I tell you, not only is he a good guy, you know what I like about him? He's a straight shooter. He doesn't give you the coach speak like so many coaches do, and we're not going to pick on different ones, but across the board, no matter what the sport, there's so much coach speak out there. Dooley will tell you the truth. He'll give you Sometimes you may not want to hear it, but he'll give you the truth. And I love that about him. And I know that we're going to have a good year. Let's pray that we won't have the COVID pause again or that long stretch again. Frank is asking about are the games against USF and Wichita State going to be rescheduled? They're going to try to reschedule them, but I haven't seen any dates, right, Bubba, like we were talking earlier in the show?
Nothing's been rescheduled as yet. Ryan Robinson said in an interview on Pirate Radio on the Brian Bailey show that was being worked on, I think, by J.J. McClam and the administration. Obviously, a lot of moving parts, and they're trying to see if dates will align, and hopefully they'll find a way to get them made up. I do know that the women's game that was postponed against SMU, Johnny Gardner told me earlier this afternoon that game will, in fact, be made up here in the next week or so, I think maybe the 12th. But, some of the individual numbers.
Okay.
And, due to being a little shorthanded tonight, not having DeBoe and Frank and then Leston to eat up some minutes, and granted, they're worth 45 minutes as opposed to 40, but you had Brandon Johnson playing 38 minutes, Vance Jackson 41, Suggs 43, and Newton 40. And so four of our eight guys who played, logged at least 38 minutes. And then Brandon Johnson had that double-double that Matt referenced, 14 and 10. Vance Jackson finished with 11 and 6. Brandon Suggs had a double-double as well, which may be surprising to some. But Brandon, even though he didn't shoot it well from the floor, he knocked down 6 out of 6 from the line, finished with that double-double, 12 points, 11 assists, and 6 rebounds for the Georgian native. And then you had J.J. Miles, had a good first half.
He cut out again. Quick point about JJ. I'll tell you one thing. JJ is one of those guys, man, oh, man, he is so streaky. And how about that four-point play, guys? I mean, that's something. But all of a sudden, I'm glad he said JJ Miles. I was going to say earlier in the show, and getting old where I easily forget. My memory is great, but it's short. But the very fact that we have a guy like him, he is a sharpshooter. And, man, I tell you what, if he could have some more consistency, he could be putting up 30 points. It's just amazing how in a very short period of time you'll see J.J. Miles put up like 8 points like that. And I just wish he's one of those guys that we're going to need. We desperately need him to be one of those. We're talking about the droughts. He's one of those guys I look to. I don't know about you, Matt. But he's one of those guys, I'm like, I'm not mad at him, but it's not that he's not a good player. It's just like, dude, come on, we need you. We need you. What is going on? And he's one that I get frustrated because I'm going that he's got ice in his veins all of a sudden, or maybe not.
Yeah. It's a great point. And tonight, he had a really good sequence there in the first half where he got out on a fast break and he had the hammer dunk, which was very impressive dunk. I mean, that was a great dunk. And then he comes right back. I think it might have been the next trip with the 4-point play. So a quick 6 points there. And he's the type of guy, when he gets hot, I would let him go. I would let him go. Green I would light. Feed him the ball. I'd give him a little green light, maybe a heat check or two. And just keep him going because, like you said, he's so streaky. And, tonight he was efficient, 4 for 8 field goals in 24 minutes, 10 points. So that's a great contribution there. But, yeah, I mean, he is – when he gets the hot hand, you got to let him shoot because, it's – we need that. We need the extra extra element to our game, the extra dimension of the added scoring. Is like you said, to sort of break those droughts. So, Bubba, are you back?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you now.
All right. So Frank Durham chimed in. He said J.J. Miles looked like Derek Wiley on that dunk. And anybody that remembers Derek Wiley's infamous dunk against number 9 Marquette on the alley from Belton Rivers will certainly get the reference here. I know B-Pays will. And That was the infamous dunk back in December of 2002.
What is that, Bubba?
Yeah, for our traditional podcast platform listeners, we're referencing the infamous teabag dunk that Dwayne Wade Dwayne Wade was victim of against Derek Wiley.
I'm sorry. I remember that dunk. I just didn't make the connect. I didn't connect the dots. I'm like, what the heck is on the screen? Oh, I need to go to bed.
It's one thing to get dunked on. It's another thing to get the old tea bag. So nobody wants that.
No, they don't. Not at all. Even though Dwayne Wade is a heck of a player, but that's the very fact of how great are they. He loved the tea bag. He loves the tea bag. Frank says on the screen from one of our YouTube viewers. By the way, thank you to all our Facebook page. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can follow us on Twitter too, by the way, and that's at TheSportsOBJ. One of the things, speaking of hot, by the way, gentlemen, what in the world is going on? Not that I'm complaining. The Pirates Cove is where Pirate Nation talks. ECU Athletics on Facebook is presented by the Sports Objective, and people are going crazy about it. I'm so excited. Guys, we have a lot of great content we'll be putting up there, I'm sure. A lot of great discussions up there, and certainly about we had one about the we're going to need some games coming up for football in 2024 and 2025. So we had that up there, I know, guys, and we'll have more things to – I'm sure Matt will write a great essay about Pirate football. I'm sure that'll be coming up. I'm putting him on the spot here. But you've got the speaking of green light. You have a green light anytime you want to write on Pirates Cove, Matt Semenza.
Thanks, brother. That's a dangerous thing. That is a dangerous thing. But
especially end game.
What's that?
Especially if it's end game.
Yeah. I am going to post something either tonight or tomorrow morning on the final bowl records for individual conferences. I think the American had a good showing. So not to get off topic here, but I'm going to post some information on that either tonight or tomorrow morning.
There you go. And Bubba, I know we have a tremendous show. You're going to do the fundraiser. Let's talk about that. We have the Sports Objective Strikeout ALS fundraiser. And help us. We have a goal of $2,300 in honor of none other than Keith LeClair. And we are huge fans of Coach and, of course, of him and Nelson Cooper. But $2,300, we know that we can shatter that goal. We did that on purpose because the obviously 23 on our coach. But man, I'm telling you, let's beat that number. All the money. And notice I said every single penny is going to the ALS, North Carolina chapter for the ALS Association, and honor coach both Keith LeClair and Nelson Cooper. And I tell you what, we've got to do it. We've got to raise a lot of money. ALS is a terrible disease. And, of course, we want you to do that. And, Bubba, we have a GoFundMe page, right, to raise the money?
Yeah, we have that pinned on our Twitter account, at TheSportsOBJ. We'll also, it's already on our Facebook page. It will be pinned. It is not as of yet if you're watching this live, but if you're listening to this or watching this archived, then it will be pinned on our Facebook page as well. We just launched that about 7 hours ago, and we've already raised a couple $100 and have four donors. So appreciate those folks stepping up, and definitely, you know, if you can give, great. If not, we totally understand. But, you know, give as you feel led to, and let's do everything we can to help strike out ALS because too many people are losing their lives and too many families are losing their loved ones and you know, close friends and so forth because of this horrible disease.
Good question. And, Bubba, that was your brainchild. I'll give you all the credit, my friend. I appreciate that very much because it's something that's near and dear to my heart. And once again, thank you for going beyond the call of duty there to do that. And I know we can easily raise $5,000, $10,000 easily with all the people that are watching and listening. And we try to do our part to help out. And I know that Audrey LeClair, she wanted to be a doctor because of her dad's condition. and we're really proud of her. And that's her mission in life, is to find a cure for ALS. And I'm sure we'll have her on back during with the LeClaire Classic coming up in baseball season. That won't be too much. Baseball season is just around the corner in a little over a month, guys. Man, hard to believe. No doubt about it. But anyway, we still have basketball season. And Bubba, I know we have, before we go, we're at an hour now, like double the time. You're getting overtime for Pirate basketball overtime tonight. But Bubba, I know that we have a great show tomorrow night. It's going to be very exciting.
Yeah, we do. Before I mention who those guests are, one more comment that I threw up a moment ago, but I wanted to mention this. Frank Durham, he said that D. Wade said it was Lipton tea on that tea bag. So, well done, Frank. But tomorrow night's show, it will be Renee Ngolia from ESPN, and then also former East Carolina defensive coordinator David Blackwell, who was most recently the DC down at La Tech with Skip Holtz. So we'll talk to those two gentlemen about the Georgia-Alabama game and a whole lot more, a variety of college football topics. And then next week, next Thursday, we will have the voice, Jeff Charles, on the program. That will be the day after the Pirates play at Cincinnati. So you have at Temple on Saturday, at Cincinnati, and we'll have overtime for each one of those games. And then we'll also have a show with Jeff Charles next Thursday to talk Pirate basketball and a whole lot more.
Very excited about that. I'm a huge fan of The Voice. He came to Greenville, I believe, in 1988, 32nd season, I believe. It's been a great ride for him. I'm a huge fan. Jeff is not only good professionally, but I've got to know him over the years personally, and what a great guy. We are so blessed, guys, to not only have him, but is The Voice, but what he's meant to the program, and not to end his career, because I hope that we have him many more years. But I will say this. I believe personally, and I don't know that Bubba helped me out on the rules, and Matt Semenza can help me, but I'm hoping one day that we will see Jeff Charles in the Hall of Fame for ECU. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame even now. But whenever he hangs up with the headphones for the last time, if it's several years down the line, I hope that he'll be put in the Hall of Fame. It's something that I want really, really bad. And one more thing, speaking of that, a sidebar for Jeff real quick is I want to see that he's in the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame. I really believe he should be in the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame. And I full disclosure, I mentioned that to the folks that run it. You know, there's a nominating process, but I want that to happen because Jeff deserves it. And anybody that's put over 30 years into something in the state of North Carolina for sports, all the games he's called. But anyway, I don't want to ramble on too much about that, but he means that much to me. And after all that he's been through personally with his battle for cancer, there's a lot of great angles there that I could spend a whole show on, and we'll talk next week with him. But something I want to see is not only the ECU Hall of Fame, but the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame. Jeff needs to be in both.
Well said, Dave. I totally
agree. No doubt about it. And very quickly, guys, one more comment I wanted to get to before we get out of here. A tweet by Cliff Godwin. He said, great win, ECU basketball. Gutsy, tough performance with a limited group. Great job, players and coaches.
You want to talk about a great Pirate and somebody that I believe would make a great athletic director for ECU after his baseball career? Cliff Godwin. That guy knows, like, track stars, he knows like that. Absolutely. All right. Well, anybody else have a comment before we go? If not, appreciate you very much. We're looking forward to another great look at that. Richard Allsburg, our buddy. Yes, Jeff Charles, paint it purple. Absolutely, brother. We're going to paint North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame purple when we get him in there finally. All right, appreciate that. A Pirates big victory again tonight, 88-80, as they win in overtime against Tulane at home, as they stay perfect at home at Williams Arena at Menjies Coliseum, 9-0 and 10-3 on the year. four, my good buddy Matt Semenza up in the great state of Connecticut, Bubba Rosenbaum in the great state of North Carolina. I'm Dave Richmond. You've been watching and listening to Pirate Basketball Overtime right here on the Sports Objective. Good night, everybody, and go Pirates.